Good morning. Please join us in singing hymn 218 in the Blue Book, "As with Gladness, Men of Old," and we will sing verses 1 and 5. Please stand if you're able. Good morning, and welcome to those who are here and to those who are joining us via the live stream. Today is Epiphany Sunday, the day in which we remember the wise men who traveled to Bethlehem to pay homage to the baby Jesus. This is the day when we remember how they followed the star of Bethlehem, a great light in the sky signaling to the world Jesus' birth. The first three verses of Isaiah 60 also speak about a light as a sign, but this light is the light that Christ embodies. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Our focus statement is printed in the bulletin, and it is read as follows. Jesus, light of the world, has come and shed light on our journey. We are radiant in the light of his love and grace. Please join me into the call to worship. I will read the light print, and then I will read with you as we read the dark print. And this is so the people listening on the live stream can hear everything. Lift up your eyes and look around. God delivers the needy when they call. Let your hearts thrill and rejoice. God will deliver the poor and those who have no helper. The nations will bring gold and frankincense before the Lord. We shall see and be radiant, and we shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. Join with me now in prayer, which is a prayer written by Carol Prenner. Let us pray. God of grace, thank you for every epiphany that will happen today, for everyone who drops a weapon because there are no enemies, for everyone who breathes in the scent of cedar and is cleansed, for everyone who drops that heavy bundle of resentment, for everyone who is guided by generations yet unborn, for everyone who is contented at the end of a journey, for everyone who falls on their knees before a baby, for everyone who senses the webs that connect us, for everyone who follows a sign from heaven, for everyone who remembers to give gifts, for everyone who is bowled over by love, for everyone who recognizes the holy, for everyone who dances with joy, for everyone who says a prayer, for all with stars in their eyes, for Jesus' sake we pray, amen. Please join me in singing song 32 in the Sing the Story, the Purple Book, O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. Please stand if you're able.
Guiding the wise. Good morning and welcome here, where I add my welcome to Naomi's welcome. And for those of you who are at home and you're looking on at the screen and you're wondering, now who was that masked person standing on the other side? That was Naomi Dirksen. The visual isn't always quite as clear as when we are sitting here in the sanctuary. And you're looking in your bulletin and you're saying, that was not Lois Bukar. We know that for a fact. And you are right. We didn't get Naomi's name in there. She has forgiven us for that oversight because we are very grateful for her participation, as well as Hannah's. That's the second person sitting there in the family grouping. So thank you very much for your help. And actually, we shouldn't even say that, right? Because they are part of the family, and this is what we do. It's like when the father is taking care of the children and the mother is off doing something else, the father is not babysitting. The father is taking care of his children. The same way, when we are doing the things that need to be done here, we are simply participating as family members. So I take back all of my thanks, but none of my appreciation. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the life that you have granted, that this day we have awakened and we turn to you. By your grace, we turn to you. We purposefully and intentionally turn our attention from the things that need our attention, that need to be done. We turn from them and first turn to you to recognize your love and your grace and your blessings on this day. Thank you for your presence in our lives and in our gathering together. Thank you that you have given us the ability to give back to you, that you don't scorn our measly gifts, but as well as the giving of ourselves, we also bring our tithes and our offerings, and we ask for your blessing on that. Give us the wisdom to use them appropriately so that your love can be spread abroad, that we would not only use what you have given us to enrich ourselves, to bring more comfort to ourselves, but that, like we sang, and like we remember those wise men who came bringing gifts, help us to become those kind of people. People who give gifts, who give freely and joyfully because we reflect the light of your love. And even in the midst of these difficult times, as we remember those struggling against COVID, we pray for the healthcare workers. We pray for all of those in hospital and especially those in ICU units. We pray that you would give them strength. Grant them another day because all time is in your hands. But we do pray for them and their families who sit and watch and wait. And we remember those that we have prayed for who have passed on. And we pray for the sorrow and the pain that that leaves behind in our communities and in communities that we don't even know about. We pray for them. We pray for all of those friends and relatives who are especially sad today, remembering their lost ones who are no longer here with us. We pray for the situation in Ethiopia, for the refugees who have had to flee their homes for their lives. We pray for the government And we ask, why? Why do these people who have no morals and no ethics, why are they given authority and power? God, where are you and why are you allowing this? We say these things at your throne because you are the God of justice. And when these things pain us, we know it's not out of our goodness that the pain comes. We are just reflecting the pain that it causes you. And we pray for mercy and grace on all of those, especially in that region today. Guard them and guide them and give them hope and your light. We pray for the other churches that are also praying for your hope and light. Especially in Swift Current, we pray for St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church. And we pray for Osler Mennonite Church and their pastor. Give them wisdom. Guide them. Give them joy in the realization of your presence right here in this hour. As we persist in praising, that in the midst of the chaos, in the face of the darkness, we gaze on your likeness, we gaze on you and your light, because the light overcomes the darkness. So with confidence, we can pray in the words you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.
I will be reading Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and called together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judah, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called for the wise men, and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the final Sunday in the series that is included in the worship materials that we follow. It's called The Leader. And for the season of Lent and the season of Christmas, or I should say Advent and Lent, we follow these series, more or less. And so we've come to the last in this series, and it's called Radiance on This Road. We have been on this road throughout all of Lent. We have had a lot of readiness and preparation and transformation and all of these things on this road. And on this Epiphany Sunday, when we have all of the lights, and now I am sure the sun is going to come out from behind those clouds and it will become even brighter in here, it really demonstrates Epiphany. It's all about light. Light on this road. We continue on the road. That hasn't stopped, and neither has the light. However, the tools and all of the stuff that they put together for the leader, that has ended for us. And I, for one, say, hooray! And you might say, why? Why would you say hooray? Because we have all this material. It's much easier to do the things to prepare for a Sunday morning. I say hooray because now I can start to put my own stamp on these sermons again. And I can put my own title. And I can say the thing I want to say. Of course, I do that eventually anyway, but I try to limit it somehow within the scope of what they advise. And the worship team knows that every season we open that leader material and they look at me and they say, so what do you think of the material? And I always say, oh, yuck, forget it, we're not using it. Always, it's always my reaction. But anyway, it's not about me. This is about us, and what is the message that we need to hear or that the Holy Spirit is going to be in our ear about this morning? Radiance on this road. Well, one of the subtitles in the material said, personal engagement has no substitute. I agree with that. Personal engagement. There's no substitute for it. You can say, here's the system, here's our community, here's our church, here's our belief system. And yet, in the midst of that, each of us has the freedom, the wonderful liberty and freedom to latch onto that, to enter into that, or not. You can go and swim in the water of that, or not. There's nothing personal about our faith. Yeah, gulp, what? Just a second, wait, did you make a mistake? Nothing personal about our faith. No, it's a community faith. It's a body of faith. It's all of us in this together, the body of Christ together. You cannot disengage from that body. And yet there is something personal about our faith. The choosing to be engaged, to be a part, something very, very personal, right in the heart of who we are. So on this road, and as we consider the light of this road, let's consider our own personal stance and maybe our own personal position as we are journeying on this road. Where am I on this journey? And what role does radiance have for me on this journey? Are we ready to respond. That's where personal engagement comes into play. Are we ready to respond? When we see a light, when we have an epiphany, Naomi prayed for those who have epiphanies, and we pray for any epiphany that will happen here this morning or throughout this day. It's a beautiful thing. Oh, if I had my choice, I'd have an epiphany every single day. They're just so amazing, so, oh, well, you know what they're like. But they're like the gold and frankincense and myrrh. They're so valuable. They're not just helter-skelter every single time you turn around. But are we ready to respond to those? Ready to respond. Let me tell you a joke. It's not my own joke. And I heard it on the radio, on the Christian radio station, okay? So that's the platform here. That's where this joke came from. There was a thief, and he broke into a house, but apparently he was a very quiet thief, and there was none of this, cameras and everything else. Well, I don't know, maybe there were, because when he got inside, he heard a voice say, "I see you, and Jesus sees you." The thief stopped, thought, well, that's ridiculous. Tiptoeing, trying to find his way around. Again, the voice, "I see you, and Jesus sees you." Well, that's a little disconcerting, okay. Well, let's see, what can we do? No thief likes light. No thief is ready for the radiance of Epiphany Sunday. Thieves like darkness. Nonetheless, this voice was quite insistent, and so the thief pulled out a very tiny little light to shine in the darkness. And as you can probably imagine, I'm sure half of you have guessed already, the thief shone a little light and found a little cage, and in the little cage was a little parrot. And the little parrot, when the light shone on him, said, "I see you, and Jesus sees you." Not a problem. But then the thief lowers the light to beneath the cage, and there, lo and behold, was a Rottweiler. "I see you, and Jesus sees you." The thief was frozen. "How do I respond?" And then the parrot said, "Sick 'em, Jesus!" I thought it was pretty funny. The thief was not ready to respond at the first voice, even when the light was on. Are we ready to respond? Okay, what? What are we supposed to respond to exactly? We've heard this little story, and Hannah read it very nicely from Matthew 2, verses 1 to 12, and we know this is the Sunday we're supposed to think about the three wise men. Okay, spoiler alert, not necessarily three. There weren't necessarily three of them. There could have been 12, there could have been 50, we don't know. We think there were three because there were three kinds of gifts named: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay, so put that out of your mind. And they may not have been kings either. We don't know that. We have created this nice little story. How nostalgic. And it makes for a beautiful Christmas card. I got one this year that is just, oh, it's perfect. It's sitting in my office. It's on my shelf, and I look at it and think, oh, isn't that sweet? And there are the three wise men, and they're kings on the card. They've got little crowns, and they're riding, I don't know if they're riding camels, because they came from the east, right? And there are camels in the east, or they're in robes, and, you know, And if we look in the closet back here with all the Sunday school costumes, we will find costumes for three children that are three kingly costumes with crowns and all of that and big gifts that they bring to Jesus. The reason that I am trying to chop away at some of that nostalgia is because if we continue to celebrate Christmas and Epiphany and this whole season in this nostalgic way, we will always and continuously be disappointed. And we will have no light to shine anywhere. That is the bad news. If our Christmas means all of that nostalgia, we won't have any light to shine, and we should say, oh, it's over too quickly. We took all that time to get ready, and now it's just over. Well, if you were here last Sunday, you know it's not over. But how do we realize the truth of it not being over? How does that actually have an impact on our lives? Are we ready to respond? So let's first of all just begin to think, what if in our area, maybe even in our church, our congregation, if a group of foreigners, very clearly foreigners, probably with a different color of skin, a different way of dressing, if they came into our church and said, we have a message for you. We've been paying attention to this for quite some time, and we have some information that might be valuable to you. What would our response be? Are we ready to respond? And each one of us, I think, if we're honest, we would look with skepticism. We would be like, I don't think so. We've already got all the information we need. Thank you very much. It would be easier to respond to someone who comes from our tradition, who was educated in our institutions, you know, all of these things that make it easier for us to hear. But if we look at these foreigners that came from the East, from far away, they were different. They were from some other place. And they were paying attention, and they were responding. God was demonstrating God's self to them. And they were ready to respond. And in their response, they left where they were and they came to another location. Different culture, different dress, different food, different look, different everything. Maybe even different language. Maybe they were, I never even thought of that until just this second. With no Babbel app on their smartphones. How were they supposed to communicate this message? Now listen to yourself. Listen to your heart. What does your head and your heart say if that happened to us? If they just happened to walk in right here today? Skepticism, I would think. Well, there they came. These foreigners came in saying what they had seen, what they had experienced. And they came with the intention of worshiping. They wanted to worship. That was their response. However, this sparked something. This was a little spark. And as we know, what happens with sparks, usually? Sparks cause fires, don't they? Often. And that's what happened here. These sparks, the sparks of these foreign people have left their homeland, their security, everything that is familiar to them, and their willingness to leave that familiarity. Wouldn't it be so much easier if you realize something, you go to your friends and you tell them, or you go to your community and you tell them, but these folks needed to go somewhere else, to follow it. That was their response. I have to follow where this thing leads me. They were ready. That was their response. And this response sparked a fire. Look at Herod, the king. He was the ruler there, and immediately he was quaking with fear. It sparked fear. This wasn't good news. This was fear. His heart sank. And then Joseph, after this, immediately after this nice, quaint, Hallmark card kind of little story here, the fire is what is sparked after this story. And that's what we need to be fully aware of. Otherwise, we're just going to say, boo-hoo, Christmas is over until December 24th next year, 24th, 25th, maybe 26th. Let's look at the reality of this story and where it happened. This spark started. Herod was afraid, and then Joseph started seeing more and more visions. He had a vision before Jesus was born, and then after these wise people came, he had another vision, and it said, "You've got to get out of here. This is dangerous." And after this, what we tend not to talk about at all, and we don't even see it as a part of the story of Christmas, what about all of the wailing in Ramah? Look at verse 18. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they were no more. This is part of the fire that is sparked. This is part of the Christmas story. This is part of it. I think to myself, why didn't these foreigners just stay where they were? Why didn't they fly under the radar? Why couldn't they keep their mouth shut? Why couldn't they just be quiet in the land? We Mennonites have a lot to teach them. Just keep quiet, keep your head down, and then you can go on and nothing will happen. It'll all be okay. Is that our response? If that's our response, then there is no radiance. Because this is part of the story. And in fact, this is part of a larger plan. None of this was a surprise. None of this was an accident. This was all known long before. There is a plan. So when we're looking around, we're looking at our lives right now, we're looking at our society, we're even looking at the very near future, the next couple of months, and we think it's chaos. Everything is out of control. How many times don't you hear that? How many times haven't you said it? Things are out of control, or they're getting out of control. And especially this week, good grief, what is going on? Won't get into that, but this is our reality. Why should we be surprised about that? Why should we be all distressed about that? Because Jesus, the one who came to save people from their sins, to save us from the darkness, came into the darkness right there, into political chaos. And the result of his coming, the darkness does not want the light. And the result was Herod's reaction. I will not let go of power. I will not allow that to happen while I am king here. So Jesus and his parents had to flee. They were refugees. And many young babies died because of Herod's fear and desire for political power and gain. There is sin, there is darkness, and there are authorities and principalities that do not want the light to shine. That is the darkness into which Jesus came. That's the situation then and now. And there is still a plan. It's not a surprise to God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. That's another alternative passage for this Sunday. And that whole passage, verses 1 to 12, Paul is talking about this big plan, the plan that was since the beginning. It's not a shock. It's not a surprise. God enters the chaos and the darkness. Now, if you're sad and disappointed that Christmas and Christ's coming didn't sweep all of that away perfectly and instantaneously, you're not alone. I'm disappointed too. I'm disappointed probably every single Christmas because I want it to be like the second coming. I want it to be the final. I want all of the sin and darkness to just be washed away and cleansed. Amen? Wouldn't that be nice? It would be more than nice, I think. It would be amazing. And it's what I want. God has a plan. God has a time. And it's not mine. And right there, Paul says, Ephesians 3, this is the reason that I'm a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. And throughout all of these verses, verses 1 to 12 of Ephesians 3, Paul continues to say, look, I am a prisoner for this. The chaos and the darkness continues. But there is this ongoing mystery. If you read that passage, you'll find mystery, mystery, mystery thrown in there continuously. And it demonstrates that it is a mystery to us. It was a mystery to Paul. It was a mystery to the prophets. It was a mystery to all the faithful believers. It was only not a mystery to God. This was God's plan. A larger, overarching plan and persistent movement forward of the plan. And as the plan is moving forward, we're all in this little chaos around it, thinking, what's going on? But the plan, like an iceberg. Do icebergs move? In my head they move, but very, very, very slowly. So it's like that movement, and it's not going to stop, and it will just move along. That's what God's plan is doing. There is a plan. And even when Jesus was born, and then all of a sudden there's chaos, and Herod is afraid, and then Joseph is having visions, and Joseph says to Mary, come on, we got to go. And she says, what? We just got here. I just put down the new flooring, and on, and we've got to get going. Hosea chapter 11, verse 1. Hosea, the prophet from long ago, said, out of Egypt. See, none of you are Egyptians. If I would have done that anywhere in Egypt, oh my goodness, the whole congregation with one big voice goes, Egypt! They would say that because this is their favorite verse. There are strong evangelical Christians throughout that country that have been undergoing persecution, deadly persecution. And there's a strong, vibrant church. They cling to this one verse, Hosea 11, verse 1. Out of Egypt I will call my son. This plan is going to happen and nothing can stop it. Are we ready to join ourselves with this plan? Jeremiah, the prophet from before, 31, verse 15. That's what was quoted here in Matthew. Jeremiah said, there's a voice in Ramah calling out. Long before, the prophets knew there was going to be crying and wailing and weeping and inconsolable sadness. It wasn't a shock. The plan was moving forward, but the darkness does not want the plan to continue. The mystery, the revelation is that Christ has come to save all. You Gentiles are now a part of the body of Christ. That is the plan. This is the amazing mystery, the promise that has been moving forward and insists on moving forward in the face of all of this chaos. Never does moving around look like a plan, does it? If you look at the young people, and they move here and then they move there. I can say young people because I'm not there anymore. But they move here and they move there, and it's like, what are you doing with your life? Moving around never looks like a plan, and that's exactly what Mary and Joseph were doing. Never does imprisonment look like a plan. And yet that's what Paul is attesting to. Paul is saying, this is exactly what the plan is. And I was named to do this, and I am holding on to that. I'm going to be a part of this. I am going to respond to this radiant invitation. It looks like chaos, and lots of things happen, and you think, what? Things are falling apart. But our eyes need to be on the light. Just like those foreigners, I've got to follow that star. I have to follow that epiphany, knowing there is a plan. Part of the knowledge of this plan, however, the difficulty in this plan, and part of it is connected to this movement that I think Paul refers to here in chapter 3 of Ephesians. I want to find this verse. I'll have to leave that one. Leave that for Ephesians. Sorry, I can't find it. But what I was going to say was part of the difficulty in following the light of this plan, if we want to follow it, because it's causing fire, sparks are causing fire. We know there's a plan, and yet this plan is that Jesus himself would be despised. Jesus, the light of the world, Jesus, the one that we have been celebrating, and that the foreigners came to say, we have found him. This Savior of the world is not wiping out the darkness of the world. And in fact, the Jesus of the world, living in our world, is Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus of Nazareth, part of the plan. My son will be called a Nazarene. You know that verse? You've heard that verse? That is part not of another prophecy from long ago, because we can't find that prophecy. This prophecy is that Nazarene is the despised. Nazareth is the place where people despise whoever comes from Nazareth. Here, let me give you a quote. Galilee was generally looked down upon. Galilee. Looked down upon by the Judeans, and Nazareth of Galilee was especially despised. Especially despised. And how often didn't Jesus identify himself or others identify Jesus of Nazareth? Jesus the Nazarene. This is the difficult part of getting on with this plan. Get on board with the plan. Get with the plan. Haven't you heard that? This is the plan. Come on, get with the plan. Here's the plan. Are you ready to get on with this plan? Jesus, the Nazarene, despised. Those of you who are writing down scripture verses, write down Isaiah 53, verse 3. Write down Psalm 22, verses 6 to 7. There, the prophecy of Jesus being the despised. If you look at the beginning of the church, keep writing down Acts 22, verses 7 and 8, Acts 26, verse 9, Acts 24, verse 5, the beginning of the church of Nazareth. He was seen as the ringleader of this sect, the despised ones. That's what the church meant. That is what we should expect if we want to get on with the plan. This should give us a little bit of a headache, or at least concern, something in our gut that tells us something's not right here, because we are comfy cozy, are we not? Anyone here despised in Swift Current? Anyone? I don't think so. Despised because of our belief, because of our insistence on following the Jesus of Nazareth, this God's plan for the world. When we are attracted to that light, then we will be despised. If we are attracted to that radiance, that's where the radiance is. The final scripture passage, look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. When we attach ourselves to the false light, we lose that light. We say, "Ah, Christmas, not so great this year." When the chaos comes, the chaos envelops us. It overcomes us. But the true light has come into the world. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Why? Because they were looking for a false light. They didn't like God's plan. The plan that resulted in so much chaos, so much fire. And yet, this was the salvation of all. We've got to follow God's plan. I am writing you a new commandment that is true. The darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him, there is no darkness at all. This is the true radiance on this road.
Please join us in singing the Song of Response, hymn 216 in the Blue Book, Christ Whose Glory Fills the Skies. Please stand.
bow for the benediction. People of God, people on the road, arise and shine. Go forth in the radiance of God, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen.